Thank you for tuning in to the Emerge Church Tallahassee podcast. We exist to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can be updated anytime we add new content. Now let's check out the message from Sunday. Hey, welcome to Emerge Church. If this is your first time with us today, we are so glad that you joined us for church. So glad you joined us on Easter. Come on. I mean, people just looking good up in here today. Am I right? Hey, do you feel as good as you look? Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm feeling good today. Just tell them, I'm feeling good. And then tell your other neighbor, you're looking good. You're looking good today. I love Easter. I love seeing everyone dressed up. I saw one of the guys today. He had a sports coat on, brand new boots. I'm telling you, it's looking so good. Love it, man. Make sure you get a picture. Hey, fellas, make it your idea to take the picture. Seriously, make it your idea to take the picture. And then just everybody in the family is going to think you're the best. Amen. Let's jump into the message for today. Wasn't that worship incredible? Come on, how about nothing but the blood of Jesus? Man, that was so powerful. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is a verse that we've been using for the last few weeks. It's kind of been our setup and our series heading into Easter. It says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We've been in this Easter series called The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And in part one, we talked about the way, talking about how Jesus is the way. And we said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen? It's not through a religious system. It's through the person of Jesus, that he makes the way to heaven. And we also said that Jesus is the only way to live here on this earth. You ever gotten in an argument with someone about their way of doing it and your way of doing it? You ever been caught in that little debacle? Come on, you know, it's like, hey, this is the way we're... I know that never happens to you at work. I know that never happens to you at home, but we always get into these little arguments about which way we're going to do it. Sometimes Cynthia and I like to take a different way to get to certain places. And she's like, why are you going that way? Because I don't want to drive with a lot of cars on the road. I'm a back roads kind of guy. Can I get an amen from two people? Others of you, you should join NASCAR. You just want to go fast. I want to slow down. Jesus' way is the way to live here on earth. I kind of feel like Jesus might take the back roads. Anyway, then in week two, we talked about the truth, that Jesus is the truth. And there's a lot of talk in our world about my truth. And I have my truth. And last week when we talked about it, we talked about how we like to take pieces of the rock and build our own belief system. The only problem with that is little pieces of the rock is nothing more than sand. And so when the storms come, the Bible tells us a wise man builds his house on the rock, but a foolish man builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come, the house that was built on the sand, what does it do? It falls. But the house that is built on the rock, who is Christ Jesus, the house stands. And so we said, Jesus is the truth to stand on. Jesus is the truth to stand on. We said that Jesus is the truth that sets us free. It's not just being honest. It's seeking the truth, who is Jesus. Amen? Be honest. But don't just be honest without finding the truth, which is Jesus. Amen? He is the truth that sets you free. And we said Jesus is the truth that silences the accuser. Those thoughts in our head that tell us you'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to. You're not a good dad. You're not a good mom. You're not a good person. You're not a good son. You're not a good daughter. Jesus is the one. He is the one that silences the accuser. Amen? That's last 2 weeks. Today, John chapter 11, verse 25. This is the verse I want to share for today. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Today, I want to speak a message called the life. The life. We talked about the way. We talked about the truth today. Let's talk about the life. Father, over the next few minutes, I just pray that as this word is spoken, that it won't just speak to our ears, but it will speak to our hearts. Father, you know what so many in here need to hear. And I just pray that you will use me just to represent you well. And I pray that a word spoken in due season will bring such life, will bring such change, will bring hope, will bring life to every person who hears it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Have you ever noticed how some really significant things can become so common? Like there are some really significant things in our lives, but after a while, we're so used to it that it becomes common. Like, I'll give you a good example of it. Electricity. You never think whenever you hit the switch, oh, we have electricity. You just hit the switch. Am I right? Like, you're not thinking it through. However, when the storm comes through, though, and your power is out, you get a revelation of how significant electricity is. It's so common. Like, you ever been in the middle of a power outage and you walk into another room and you just hit the switch and nothing happens? Like, you know the power is out, but you still hit the switch. It's because it's become so common to us that it loses its significance. Having a car. Transportation is a game changer. You're so used to it, though. You get in your car and you just take off and you go like nothing's ever happened until your car breaks down and you need a ride. Anybody in here ever needed a ride? Man, a few weeks ago, I had to put my truck in the shop and I needed a ride. And you know how they do it? They're like, we will give you a shuttle. A shuttle just gets me home. I got places to go, things to do. I don't want to go home. I want to go somewhere. And they just offer you the shuttle to get you home. And then you're hitchhiking. And all the people in your circle, that you're trying to work your schedule around theirs and they're trying to work their schedule around yours. And you're just sitting there with all of your impatience. And you remember what it was like to be 15 all over again. Don't want to go back. I felt so stranded, man. I did. I felt stranded. I'm sitting at home, and it's like, what do you do when you're at home and you have places to go and things to do? And Cynthia says, you do laundry, is what you do. Amen. She's like, put on SportsCenter and fold some clothes. I mean, what else are you going to do? Take the trash out, like all the things. And it's like, I want to go somewhere. I want to go to work. Yeah, it's like, I just want to go to work, man. I just want to go. I felt like I was held captive is what I felt like. Anyway, but it's so easy for like really significant things to become just common. Think about it at home, like in our relationships, like with your spouse. There was a day where you just prayed that God would send you the most amazing person to marry. Am I right? Like, God, just bring them into my life. And at one point, it was so significant. But after a few years, just common. Oh, y'all didn't like that one. Okay. Let's shift. Lord, bless me with these children. Children are such a blessing from the Lord, and it's so significant in those moments. And then it's like, get ready for school. We're running late. Oh, my God, the car won't start. Now we're stranded, and we all got to fold clothes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These significant things, though, over time, it becomes so common. And you know, we know the story of Jesus. We know the story of the cross, how Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment for all our sins. We know the significance of the blood of Jesus that covers all of our sins. We know the significance of Easter. But let's be honest, after a little while, it's common. Like even today, you got your outfit on, you're looking good, going to take the picture. And as we're singing these songs and we're sharing this message, it kind of puts you in a place of reality check. It's like, oh yeah, this is pretty significant, yeah. It's not just like this everyday Jesus forgives my sin things. It's like, wait a minute, Jesus really went to the cross to die for my sins. And today what I want to do is get us to refocus on the significance of Jesus. Amen. To see the significance of the goodness of God, because I can promise you this, that God is so much better than what you think he is. I don't know anyone that would be willing to do the things that he did for you, and you got some really good friends in your life that you love a whole lot. Can I tell you, Jesus is even better than that. Like, just so much better. And I just want to highlight the significance of God's love. I want to highlight his significance and how great he really is to you. Because he's good. Tell your neighbor, he is so good. So good. So good. And I think what happens to us is this. Living in the moment becomes so common. Because we have so many moments and so many things we got to take care of and so many things that we have to do. And living in the moment is so common. But let's refocus on the significance of eternity. Let's get out of just the mundane moments of our life where we're in the rush and we got so much to do. And let's refocus on the significance of our eternity. And I just want to drop this verse right here to bring you back to the significance of all that Jesus is for us. In John 3:16, you know the verse. For God so loved the world. In fact, you can change world and put your name in there. For God so loved Joe that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting what? Life. God wants us to have life, and he sent Jesus, and he wants us to have life how? Abundantly. Abundant life. And sometimes, because it's so common to us, we're not living abundant life. We're just living the life. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to make it through today, Pastor Way. I'm just trying to make it through the week. I'm just trying to make it through the month. I'm just trying to make it through the year. There's so much more to life than just making it through the day, y'all. There's so much more to it. And we read from John 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the story of Jesus arriving at the home of Mary and Martha. And he's a few days late on his arrival because their brother Lazarus was sick and now he has died. And it's that moment of, Jesus, where were you? You ever said that before? Like when life started happening, like, Jesus, where were you? Where you at, bro? You should have been here. Where have you been? And they're having this moment. And Jesus shows up and he's late. And Martha is just giving it to him. She's just letting him know, you are late. If you had been here, this never would have happened. You feel the tone on it? I might be reading that tone into the story, but that's how I feel it's being said, okay? And Jesus just says, your brother will rise again. Can you imagine that moment? Your brother will rise again. And she agrees, oh, yes, I know. At the end of time, when the resurrection takes place, I know, Jesus, he's going to rise again, and you're giving me good funeral talk right now to make me feel better. He's in a better place, like all those different things. And that is not at all what Jesus was trying to say. But Jesus has become so common to her. He has become so common to her that that's her interpretation of the moment. So all she can do is interpret it with some kind of future glory instead of seeing the present glory of God that is standing right in front of her. And this is the place where Jesus makes the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he says, do you believe that? I am the resurrection. Do you believe it? And her reply, it's almost like an eye roll reply. You ever had somebody, when they respond to you, it's just the eye roll, and it's like, ooh, don't do that. Anybody got some of those folks in your life? Eye roll. Oh, let's go. Anyway, calm down. Calm down. And this was her response. Yes, Lord, I do believe that. I have always believed you are the Messiah. I've always believed you're the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. That's what she said. This is what I've always believed. And it's not that her faith in Jesus is dead. It's just that she has reached a dead end in her faith. You ever went down a road thinking it was the right direction and it's a dead end? Remember the gravel road I told you I grew up on last week? It was a dead end. We were at the end of the dead end road. And on the other side of the road was a pond that we fished in and did a lot of fun stuff in. But it was a dead end. And this is where Martha's at in her life. She was at a dead end. Because she's dealing with a situation that is unexplainable. There was a solution that was possible, but where was it? Are you feeling this? And Jesus is showing up, and he's giving her the preacher talk. You ever had somebody give you the preacher talk? You're like, you're doing it right now, preacher. I know. Welcome to church. Okay. But the reality is she's at a dead end. And I know you've been down some roads driving that turn out to be a dead end, but have you ever been in a place in your life that the road that you've been going down in your life has turned into a dead end? Maybe with the job that you thought this is going to be the greatest thing ever, and it turned into a dead end. Maybe it was an opportunity that you pursued. Maybe it was something with a marriage. I mean, we can go down the list of all the things, and it turned into a dead end. And I think about how hopeless that feels to be at a place in your life where at one point you thought, this is the life. This is going to be so exciting. This is going to be so incredible. This is the best. I mean, we're living abundant life, only to find out that the road that you're on actually led to a dead end. And we know the Proverbs tell us there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it leads to what? Destruction. And that's what we feel like happens to us sometimes, because we felt like we were on the right path. We felt like we were going the right way. And for some reason now it feels like it has turned into a dead end. And I started thinking about some dead ends in our life that we experience as we're living this life that God has given us. And sometimes you can become dead in your doubts. You know what I'm saying? Where you know what you believe, but when you're not seeing things happen that you believe can happen, it causes you to begin to doubt. Yes. And it's not that you vocalize it externally, but you're saying it to yourself. I don't know. Where are you at? And then when another believer comes around, oh, bless the Lord, he is present in every situation. When you're by yourself, God, what is taking you so long? You know what I'm saying? It's like how you talk at home versus how you talk at work. Yeah. We got to get consistent, y'all. Yeah. All right? Dead in your doubts. You've had spiritual doubts before. We all have. Where you prayed and it seems like nothing's happening. You're like, oh, Pastor, wait, this is Easter. We're coming heavy with it. This is where people are, though. Because we pray and nothing happens. And perhaps you grew up believing God, and you grew up in church, but then you went off to college and you did some things. You know what I'm saying? You did some things. Yeah. Some things you're still praying and asking God to forgive you of. You know? And you sat in a class and you sat with a group of people, and it's not that you forgot what you believed. It's just that you begin to doubt some of the things that you believe because of some of the things that you experienced. And so now you're in a dead end with your doubts. And then there's the dead end of discouragement. And this one is really tough because I think this one is the easiest dead end to reach, where there's enough disappointment in your life and discouragement, and you don't even realize it, but you begin to become negative. Y'all know that? Like, you become negative and you didn't even know it because the weight of your discouragement and disappointment is so heavy on you, and you're just trying to get through. So we say things like, man, I'm just always discouraged. We'll never have a good marriage. I always fail as a parent. Like, that's the dead end. Like when you're at that place, you're at a dead end. And you begin to say it, no one really loves me. I'll be alone for the rest of my life. This is a dead end job. And it just flows so effortlessly. And really what we're saying is, man, I'm not a dead end. Dead in my doubts, dead in my discouragement. And then here's the one that Martha was dealing with, dead in delay. Where are you at? Like, I'm an early person by nature. I show up early, man. And like 2 minutes after I show up, I want to know where everybody's at. It's not that you're late. It's just that you're not here. You should be here. This is awesome. This is where Martha's at. She's in a delay, and she's been waiting, and it seems like Jesus is just too late. And delay. We'll never have a baby. Been praying for that loved one, and they're still not healed. Been waiting on God. Come on, you can feel the heaviness in the room. Just bringing those few little things up. Been waiting to hear if I got accepted into that university. Been waiting to hear if I'm going to get the scholarship, because if I don't get the scholarship, I can't go to that school. I got to go to this school. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Been waiting on that job decision. Been waiting, hadn't heard anything. I sent 10 emails and they still haven't responded. Just waiting and waiting. And Martha, she just reached a dead end. That's where she was. She reached a dead end and she thought it was over. And obviously, she looks at what happened to Lazarus and she just feels like it's over. And it feels like this is something that she will never get past. Like this is something that she will never, ever be able to get over. But then, this is where Jesus shows up. And when he shows up, he resurrects Lazarus. But I need you to see in this story and make it applicable to you that Jesus didn't just show up to raise Lazarus up, but he showed up to raise her up as well. And so the resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. It wasn't just for Lazarus. It was for Martha too. And the resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. It was for you too. In all of the dead ends. In all of the dead ends. Jesus wants her to see the significance, not just of what he can do, because what he could do became so common to him. Like Jesus, he for 3 years, he walks around everywhere, miracle after miracle after miracle. And it's almost like Jesus became the magician miracle worker. Just call Jesus, he'll fix it. Just call Jesus, he will fix it. And what's about to happen in this story is they're about to see a side of Jesus they never had known before. They didn't know that he was resurrection. They just thought he was miracle worker. But now in this story, Jesus is about to introduce himself as the resurrection and the life. And he doesn't introduce him at the green light. He doesn't introduce himself as the resurrection and the life at the beginning of the journey. He introduces himself as the resurrection and the life at the dead end. It was at the dead end where Jesus is introduced as the resurrection and the life. And this is what you need to know today, that the resurrection is more than an event, it's a person. It's more than just Easter Sunday, where we're gonna celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and that big event that happened that gives us hope, that gives us life. This is so much more than that. This is the celebration of a person that is the resurrection. Because the very breath that entered into Lazarus, that raised him from the dead, was the same breath that breathed into Adam whenever God formed him out of the dirt of the earth. It was the same breath. Resuscitating. Breathing life. And you've said, I wish I could just catch my breath. Notice Jesus didn't show up and say, I can resurrect him. That's not what he said. He says, I am the resurrection. And just when they thought they had Jesus all figured out, this is where they were introduced to more of who he is. I pray that Jesus doesn't just become common to you, but you will always see the significance of who he is. And the significance of who he is in every single life situation that you may walk through. Everything that you walk through can lead to an introduction to more of who Jesus is. let me say that again. Everything that you walk through could actually be an introduction to more of who Jesus is. So Easter reminds us that Jesus is the resurrection. That's what Easter does. It reminds us not just that he rose from the dead. That's enough to celebrate, am I right? But there's so much more to it. It's the reality that Jesus is the resurrection. So, if you're at a dead end in your doubts, he can resurrect your faith again. If you're dead, you're at a dead end with disappointment and discouragement, he can resurrect your hope again. He can help you to dream again. He can help you dream again for your family. He can help you dream again for your career. He can help you dream again for that child. If you're at a dead end, resurrection is right there saying you can believe, you can have hope again. If you're dead in delay, just know that doesn't mean that you've been denied. You may be waiting, but Jesus is coming. I like to say it like this. If Jesus is here, anything can happen. If Jesus is here, anything can happen. As you're hearing this, I hope you're readjusting your faith. It's like, Pastor Wade, I knew that. I just got to recalibrate my faith a little bit. It's become so common that I kind of, it's not on par where it's supposed to be. It's kind of drifted a little bit. Let me recalibrate it again today and get my faith on point to know Jesus is the resurrection and the life. To get my faith in the place to where I know that Jesus is here and that anything can happen. So here's why Easter isn't common. Here's why Easter is still so significant. It's because Jesus showed up when we were at a dead end in our decisions. Our sin is the result of our decisions. And let me say it like this, sin is a dead end. It's always a dead end. I'll say it this way. Our sins is sucking the life out of us. It's sucking the life out of our families. It's sucking the life out of our friendships. It's sin that is causing the dead ends. It's sin. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And we know that. And it's common to know that. But it's significant to know that in his kindness, God is a life giver. He gives life. Like, we know the effect of sin, but can you still recognize the power of God? So Jesus comes to our dead end of sin to die in our place. Follow me. So that the curse of sin can end. Jesus came to say, sin, this is a dead end for you. Amen. So I can make a way for all of you. Yeah, yeah. He went to our dead end to make a way. He sheds his blood to pay for every single sin that was committed, even those that we don't even like to talk about or think about. Jesus went to the cross and suffered immensely for all of this so that he can make a way. So he sheds his blood to pay for the sins. He's buried in a borrowed tomb on Friday. Can you imagine that conversation? We don't want to buy a casket. We want to borrow one. I know, that's weird. We don't want to buy a tomb. We just want to borrow it. Think of that. There is some faith in there. It's like showing up in the middle of a drought with an umbrella because you've been praying for rain. You know what I'm saying? Just twirling your umbrella. You've got faith that it's going to rain so much that you're carrying an umbrella. And Jesus has so much life within him. And he is such the source of life that they just borrowed a tomb. Borrowed it on Friday because they knew Sunday was coming. Love it, man. Love it. And then on that Sunday, on this Sunday, the stone was rolled away. The stone is kind of like the sign at the end of the road. It just says dead end. Can't go any further. This is it. Yeah. It's the end for you. The stone is rolled away. The resurrection and the life is alive. The cross was the end, but the resurrection was the beginning. The cross was the end, but the resurrection was the beginning that we all needed. Here's what I'm saying. It's not over for you. That's what I've been trying to get to. It's not over for you. It's just the beginning. What looked like a dead end for Jesus was actually the defeat of Satan. That's what it was. And so when Jesus was resurrected, all sin, death, and hell was paid for. It was defeated. It was conquered, and it doesn't have to defeat you. Did you hear that? He's defeated it, and it does not have to defeat you. So the cross gives us forgiveness for all of our sins. Let's say it like this, for all of the cycles of our sins. You ever notice that? It's cycles. But then the resurrection, gives us the power to break those cycles. So when we believe Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in him as the sacrifice for our sins, and we put our faith and trust in his resurrection, this is where the Bible tells us we are saved. So because he died, my sins are gone. Because he lives, I have a future. And that's why we say Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Can I tell you, this is what you've been looking for. This is who you've been looking for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, do you believe that Jesus can resurrect your life? Maybe you need healing in your body. Do you believe that Jesus can be resurrection to your health? Maybe your career looks like it's at a dead end. Do you believe that he can resurrect your career? Maybe your marriage looks like it's at a dead end. Do you believe that he can resurrect your marriage, your family? Do you believe that he can resurrect your faith and your hope again? Do you believe that all of the decisions that you've made that have put you in such an unfortunate situation with guilt and shame, do you believe today that he can resurrect you from the place of guilt, that you can stand in the glory of God? Because all that Easter is and all that it represents was for that purpose, was to bring new life. And maybe you're here today and you're in need of a resurrection. You need Jesus to come and breathe life again into your home, breathe life again into your body, breathe life again into your soul. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And resurrection wasn't just the event, it's the person of Jesus. And if Jesus is here, anything can happen. If you're here today and that's the choice you want to make, I want to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. And this is a big time prayer because this is a matter of your salvation. If you have never given your life to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him as the Savior of your sins, today is the day to put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's not a religious system. It's not just teachings. It's the truth. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a commitment of Jesus, I'm following your ways. And I ask you to bring life to me. If that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer out loud after me, along with every person in this congregation today. I want you to believe it in your heart, because it's by faith that you are saved by the grace of God. Let us pray this together. Say, dear Lord, thank you so much for loving me, that you sent Jesus to the cross to take my place. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my punishment of all of my sins so that I can be forgiven. I commit my life to you now, and I trust you as Savior. I trust you as Lord. I believe what you did on the cross. I believe in your resurrection, and I submit my life to you now. I'm all yours. And from today forward, I choose to live my life your way. I will follow you. I will worship you. Breathe new life in me today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And amen. We're so glad that you joined us for this message. If you would like to give to help us continue to reach more people, you can go to our website, merchchurch.com, and click on Give. We hope to see you at church this Sunday.